It's not so slow. Go slow, am I?
You know me, yeah? Well, good day to you, Carlisle. It's a joy to be here in your midst once again to bring to you, to your attention, that is the good news, the glad tidings that we have to share with you. That's the gospel, you know, the glad tidings, the Saviour sent into the world that, folk like yourselves, you know, might be saved, come to a knowledge, you know, of your Maker, come to a knowledge of the God who, in His goodness, mercy, kindness, has provided us with a means, a way, you know, by which we can be restored to His favour. Don't know if you've ever read God's Word, but offer to you a copy of God's written Word. It's an extract from the Bible. You'd like one, offer to you quite freely. No cost, no obligation to you. You're simply only for the taking. Read, study, meditate upon the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one, you know, the Savior sent into the world that through Him that you might be saved. Jesus, a wonderful Savior, the only mediator between God and man, the only way back to God from sin's dark path. You know, that's the issue, that's the problem that we have to deal with. Maybe, perhaps, has come to your attention, you know, that we, you know, men, women, and children born into this world, you know, we don't function the way, you know, that we ought to do. You know, we come short. Bible says that, you know, that we all, each and every one of us, we come short of the glory of God, the standard that is that God has set for us. But you know, if you're really honest, you know, you've got standards that you set for yourself, maybe your own standards, maybe not God's, you know, but you know full well, every one of us, we don't come up even to our own standards, you know, we disappoint ourselves. You know, we come way, way short of God's standard of perfection. And of course, that's what God requires of you in that day when He judges you by His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the standard by which God's going to judge you in that day. Utter perfection. Utter righteousness to the uttermost. You say, well, who could possibly ever reach such a standard as that? Well, the answer is, not you and not I. No, my friend, there's another righteousness that you need. That's the righteousness of God that you get reckoned to you when you trust Him, when you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the one, the only one, who fulfilled the righteousness of God. So it's trusting, you see, not religion, that doesn't do it. You can be religious, you know, a lot of religious people, I guess, maybe in Carlisle today, church attenders, you know, mosque attenders, temple attenders, doesn't matter the variety of religion, but unless you got the life of God in your soul, unless you got the love of God in your heart, that is, as Jesus puts it, unless you've been born again. Says you must be born again. Says a man be born again, he can't see, he can't perceive, he can't understand the kingdom of God, never mind enter into it. And you see, when a man, a woman is born again, through the gospel, that is, through the good news about Jesus sent into the world to save us from our sins, when a man or woman's been born again, everything changes. It's a revolution in the heart, you know. It's not the outward exterior of religion. You can go to church all your days and still not be changed, still not be born again. still not of the life of God in your soul, of the love of God in your heart. Has to be a point, you know, in your history, at some point, maybe you can't point to the exact day, but a time in your life, you know, you can look back and you say, that's the time when God came to me and changed me. That's the time, that's when I was reborn. God came to me and changed my heart, changed my insight, brought me to a knowledge of Himself in His Son Jesus Christ, brought me to faith, to trust in Jesus. In order that I was forgiven, pardon of my sins, and given the assurance and given the hope of eternal life, Jesus says, my sheep, they hear my voice. Not just the voice of a preacher, but in the preaching of the gospel, they hear the voice of Jesus and they follow Him. My sheep hear my voice, He says, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. So you see, my friend, hearing the voice of the Savior, hearing the voice of Jesus, hearing in faith, believing, trusting, confiding in the Son of God, absolutely and fully trusting in Him, His person, and that which He has accomplished, which He has done, His dying, His rising, dying for our sins, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. None righteous, no, not one. None who does good. Not a single one, says God. So you see, my friends, salvation, eternal life, the hope of eternal life through the gospel, for sin, for men and women conceived in sin, that's where it begins. It's not just, you know, what we do. It's not just what we say or even think. It's our very natures. It's in our DNA. Sin, I mean. We're conceived, says God. We're conceived in sin. In your mother's womb, at that moment, that point of conception, that's where your sin career begins. And then 9 months later, you're born in sin, says God, shaping in iniquity, living in lawlessness all your days, unless that is the grace of God intervened through the preaching of the gospel. You're brought to an understanding, awakened to the reality of your sin, your condition, what it's doing to you, and where it's taking you. Because that's the problem. Not only does it destroy the lives of men and women now in this world, there's the judgment to come. There's that day appointed for all of us. It is appointed unto man once to die. Two appointments. An appointment once to die. After this, oh, says the world, oh, says the unbeliever, oh, says the godless, oh, well, after that, that's the finish. No more then, no more suffering, no more pain. That's the end of it all. Finito, black hole. Nobody knows what happens after death. Nobody ever came back to tell us. Oh, yes, they did. Jesus Christ did. And He tells us clearly in His Word, it is appointed unto man once to die. After that, then comes the judgment. So you've got an appointment with death, unavoidable, whoever you are, whatever you are. You might be a king, you might just be a street preacher, but everybody faces the grim reaper. That day comes when He will wrap His slimy fingers around your soul and draw it out of your body and return your soul to God to give account in that day. The judgment of God, my friends, two appointments, one with death, and then the judgment throne of God. And you give account, Jesus said, for every idle word that you speak. Every idle word, He says, you give account for. Not just the blasphemous ones, not just the evil ones, not just the lies, every idle word you give account for, says Jesus, in that day when God judges you by His Son, Jesus Christ. So there you are. conceived in sin, born in sin, living in sin all your days, but for the grace of God, you breathe your last, you go out of this world the same way that you come in. You don't take anything with it, with you. Naked you came into the world, and naked you go out of the world. You don't take the iPhone, the iPad with you. You don't take the house with you. You don't take the money with you. You don't take anything with you but your sin, and then you give account to God. That, my friend, that's what you need saving from. That, my friend, is what you need delivering from. That day when you stand before God and give account for your sin, judged by Almighty God, judged perfectly righteous, righteously. Not the judges of this world, not the magistrates that you would have in Carlisle, you know, doggy old men that don't know the law themselves. No, no. A perfect judgment, perfect righteousness by His Son, Jesus Christ. The one who today would be your Savior, Jesus, will, if He's not your Savior, if He does not become your Savior, He will be your judge in that day when you stand before God. You will be judged by Judge Jesus. But today, my friends, the grace of God. Today, my friends, the mercy, the kindness of God, salvation of God is announced, is declared amongst you in order that you might be brought by the grace of God to repentance, coming from your sin and turning to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that you might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might be saved. Pointed unto man once to die. After that then comes the judgment. Are you ready? Are you ready for that day? Word of God says that many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Which will it be for you, I ask you? Carlisle, pose the question in your own heart, your own mind. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Will that be you? In that day will you be ashamed when you stand before the judgment throne of God, and all your sins, I tell you, all of them, every thought, every word and every deed, things that you don't want your wife to know, your husband to know, things you don't want your mother to know, will be published across the whole universe, and you'll be covered with everlasting contempt and shame. Everlastingly, my friends, that's the end of sin untreated. That's the end of sin unforgiven. That's the end, my friends. Shame and contempt in that day when you stand before God. But hear this, my friends, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus that is, shall be saved, shall not be ashamed, shall not be disappointed. For those who believe, for those who repent, for those who turn from their sin, for those who trust in the Savior, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that day of judgment will be a joyful day for them. That will be a judgment of commendation for them. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Faith, you see, my friends, faith, full of faith. That's the saving act. That when a man, when a woman believes, truly believes in Jesus, puts their faith, their trust in the Son of God, absolutely, fully trusting in Jesus and what He has done, their sin is taken away. All the contempt and all the shame, sin is rolled away, so far away that not even God Himself can find it anymore. Removed as far as the east is from the west. This is the gospel, and only the gospel can accomplish this. Only the gospel can do this. It's the power of God unto salvation. To everyone? No. To everyone who's religious? No. To everyone who goes to church? No. To everyone that believes. to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ in the gospel. What is the gospel? Christ died for the ungodly. What is the gospel? Christ died for sinners and rose again from the dead after the third day, just as the Bible in the Old Testament said that he would. So it happened. Everything predicted concerning the Son of God in the Old Testament of the Bible fulfilled in time. Son of God came and lived and loved and died upon that cross, shed his precious blood, that the curse of God and the wrath of God might be lifted from off sinners. He came, my friends, not to make you healthy, wealthy, and prosperous. He came, Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners. Save them from sin and death and hell, from your greatest enemy, your own heart, your own innermost being, my friends. Sin in your DNA. It's the very fabric of your being. You are, says God, in his word in the Bible, incontinent. The sin is in you, and you can't keep it in. It comes out of you, oozes out of you, in your thoughts, in your words, in your actions. Sin is what you are, naturally born into this world a sinner, and nothing but sin comes out of us. Until that is, it is treated. Until that is, a man, a woman is born again. Until that is, they're awakened by God to the reality of their sin, and to see the reality of their need. Their need of Jesus, their need of the Son of God, who lived and loved and died and arose from the dead, in order that they might be saved, in order that they might have eternal life. And that eternal life, my friends, is not just life ever and on without end. It is that, but more than that, it's a quality of life here and now in this world, wholesomeness, righteousness, loving God and loving your neighbor, the very opposite to your sin nature that causes you to hate God and hate your neighbor. A change, a cataclysmic change, a revolution in the heart, my friends. It's the heart business. It's the heart that's the problem. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, says God. It's a heart matter. Why I say to you that religion doesn't do it. Yeah. Going to prayer, going to church, you know, being religious, doing religious things, religious rites, my friend. All that's on the outside, that's all exterior. It doesn't change the heart. It's the heart that's the heart of the problem, and it's the heart that must be changed. Until your heart's changed, there is no change, inwardly or outwardly. But Jesus came. He came and lived and loved and died and arose again from the dead in order that that heart change might be a possibility, might become a reality with you, huh? Through what I'm doing here today, through the preaching of the gospel, making known to you the truth, my friend, about yourself. The truth, my friends, about God, that God, in his goodness, not out of any compulsion on God's part, no pressure on God to do anything for any one of us, but in his goodness, has provided us with a way back to God from the dark path of sin. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way back to God. No one gets right with God. No one comes to God but by Jesus Christ. No other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Salvation, my friend, from sin and death and hell. Otherwise, you awaken one day. You get up in the morning, you put your socks on. Maybe this morning. Who knows, perhaps, maybe you won't take them off yourself tonight. Maybe the undertaker will take them off. What a shock and surprise that would be, eh? never expected it. Does anyone ever expect to die? But it's appointed, it will happen. Maybe it will come suddenly. Maybe it will come unannounced. Are you ready for that day? And will you awaken in that day to everlasting shame and contempt? Stood before God, naked, destitute, wanting for any righteousness at all? Oh, what a dreadful, dreadful day that will be. But there are some that will awaken. Awaken, the prophet says, to everlasting life. Those, that is, who have entered in at the straight gate and walked down the narrow pathway. Oh, to them everlasting life. The sheep and the goats. Jesus talks about the sheep and the goats. The sheep go to the right, the goats go to the left. And the sheep go to everlasting life, and the goats go to everlasting destruction, shame and contempt. Which are you? Jesus said to the Jews, you don't hear my voice. Why? Because you're not of my sheep, he said. You're goats. That's why you don't hear my voice. Do you just hear the voice of a preacher today? Or do you hear the voice of Jesus? Do you hear the voice of the Savior calling you apart, calling you away from your sin, calling you away, my friend, from your darkness, calling you to himself? Do you hear the Savior's voice? Do you hear the voice of Jesus, of the Son of God? Or are you one of the goats? Is that why you don't hear his voice? But if you hear his voice, if you hear his voice, oh, you will follow him. You will follow him, and he will give unto you eternal life, everlasting life. And in that day, my friends, you will awaken to everlasting life. Oh, there's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to be shunned, believe me. On the pathway to perdition, the preaching of the gospel, God says, foolishness, foolishness to those who are perishing. What do you think? What do you think about the preaching of the gospel here in Kalail this afternoon? Is it foolishness to you? That would be evidence that you're on the pathway to perdition, the pathway to hell. My friends, the gospel separates the sheep from the goats. The gospel separates. You either believe, and you get everlasting life, or you reject it and you continue on to everlasting death, contempt and shame. The gospel is good news, it's glad tidings. For those who believe, it's the power of God unto salvation. For those who believe, only for those who believe. But it's a rock of offense, it's a stone of stumbling for many. They stumble, they fall over it, and they break their spiritual necks upon it, because they will not believe, because they stubbornly and willfully reject the salvation set before them, stubbornly reject the salvation and the truth, will not receive a love of the truth, and therefore, says God, they are given over to strange and strong delusions, such as many as you have in your city of Carlisle today. Was there ever a day like it, I ask you, in your land, in your country? Men and women given over to such foolish delusions that they live with today. Men becoming women and women men. You ever heard the like of it? 30 years ago, you would have been sectioned for even thinking such things. Insanity, I tell you. But that's the outworking of sin. That's the outworking of your rejection of God, your denial of the very existence of God, and your rejection of his gospel, rejection of his loving entreaties. God says, in effect, okay, you don't want my love, you don't want my salvation, you don't want my son. Okay, he says, I'll give you what you want. I'll open another door for you. And I'll even give you a shove through the door. And I'll give you over. I'll give you over to what you want. And what is it that you want? You don't want God. You want your sin. You want your sinful lifestyle. You want your delusions. So God says, okay, I'll give you what you want. And so he gives you over to more and more sin. He punishes your sin with more sin until the cup is filled up, and then the end comes, judgment comes, and you're taken out of the world, and you're judged, and you're sent to hell. That's the end of your sin, my friend. That's the end of having your own way. And you can shake your head all you want, madam. Shake your head till the cows come home. Doesn't alter the truth. Doesn't change the truth. So you see, my friend, given over to reprobate minds, the Bible says, to do those things that are not convenient, those things that are not fitting for human beings to do, never mind for animals to do, never mind human beings. Do you not live in such times? Do you not live in the midst of such insanity? Can you not see it? Can you not see it? Do you not understand it? Sin is rampant amongst you. Rampant, raging, I tell you, even in your own hearts. Even as the gospel, even as the good news, even as the glad tidings is set before you here this afternoon, Carlisle. There's a woman shaking her head, eh? Shaking her head. No, 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 she said. Well, my friends, the judgment of God, I tell you, is God's answer to the shaking of her head. Wrath, I tell you, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who push down the truth of the knowledge of God in their wickedness. You see, you know that there is a God. Don't come telling me that you're an atheist and asking me to give you proof for the existence of God. That's a conversation we will not have, because you know just as I do, you know that there is a God. That knowledge is in you, says God. He has shown it unto you. You know that there's a God. Every man, woman, and child born into this world knows that. And you know that you're a morally accountable creature to God. You know that. You know that. Your conscience tells you that. And my friends, that's the reason why the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against your ungodliness, against your unrighteousness. The wrath of God is all over you like a rash. It's in you. That's why we get men and women who otherwise would be quite sane, you know. Normally speaking. But when they hear the gospel being preached, when they hear God, when they hear Jesus mentioned, they fall into a rage. They start railing and spitting and raging against us. Why? Because of the wrath of God in them. It maddens them. It reminds them, you see, of what they know, that they have the knowledge of God. And in their madness, in their insanity, instead of repenting, instead of doing that which God requires of them, instead of repenting, my friend, they rage and they rail against Almighty God, not just against His servant, not just against the preacher of the gospel. It's against God's, His message, not mine. I'm only the messenger. I'm only sent to tell you the truth in order that you might believe and be saved, in order that you might be brought to repentance. I can't save you. Only God Himself can do that. But I bid you, my friend, bid you, let the wicked forsake his way. Repentance is what's required. That's the first step towards restoration. Let the wicked forsake his way of living, that is, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You change the thinking. You change the world view. You know, you begin to see the world, the universe, everything in it, as created for God's glory, not just for your pleasure. And that you yourself were made for God's glory, to glorify Him and to enjoy Him, to fear God and to give Him glory. That's the very purpose, that's the very reason for your being here on planet Earth at this time. But you don't fulfill that living in sin. So you must repent, you must change your mind, and you must begin to think God's thoughts after Him. Align yourself with God's thinking. Change of mind, you see. A deep transformation in the depths of your soul. Your thinking totally revolutionized. And when the thinking changes, when you begin to think God's thoughts after Him, you begin to find your life changing. Your way of life, your practice, the sin goes. You discard the sin, you turn your back on it, and you turn to faith the Savior, who also requires of you exactly the same. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. And the only way that you can enter God's kingdom is in the way of repentance and faith. Why Jesus bids you to do the thing, to repent, seek ye the Lord while He may be found, call ye upon Him while He is near, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, He will show mercy abundantly, pardon, there's a way back to God from the dark path of sin. Doesn't have to end in hell. Doesn't have to end in shame and contempt everlastingly. But some will awaken. Some to everlasting life. Some to shame and everlasting contempt. Will that be you? Is that your end? Is that the end of your sinful course? Is that the end of your earthly existence? Everlasting contempt to be held in hell and the chains of hell and darkness. Contempt, utter contempt poured upon you by Almighty God. Smoke of their torment, the Bible says, ascends forever and ever. Those in hell presently, my friend, many, many thousands, millions already, Jesus tells us that the flames are never quenched. Why do you think that would be? Because they're fueled day after day by men and women, unrepentant, unbelieving, knowing God but denying Him, not fearing Him, not giving Him glory. Slip out of this world, breathe their last, stand before the judgment, the terrifying judgment throne of God, and cast into hell forever, fueling the flames day by day, burning, and the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. Will that be your end? Is that the end of you? Is that, my friends, what awaits you when you breathe your last? The very next person that you'll see when you close your eyes in death will be the terrible, dreadful judge of all the earth, who only and ever does righteously. Never will He judge. Never will He condemn. Never will He damn one innocent person, because there's no such a thing as an innocent person. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned, all, my friends. None good, and none that doeth good, none righteous, no, not one, says God. All departed from God, all apostatized from their Maker, from their best good, from God, the overflowing fountain of all goodness. There is no goodness apart from God. There is no life apart from God. Dead, dead, my friends. Not a little bit dead. Not a big bit dead. Totally dead. Spiritually dead. Cut off. Alienated from God by your iniquities, your lawless deeds. And one way out, one way of escape. But how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Answer, you will not escape, cannot escape. One way only. Son of God, Jesus Christ, loved sinners and gave himself for them. Came to manifest the love of God. Where do you see it? You say, I look around me. In the world today, everywhere I look, I see nothing but the wrath of God. So where do you look? Where do you see the love of God? The cross, my friend, the cross where Jesus bled and died. Where he took the curse and the wrath of God upon himself for sinners. That's where the love of God is manifest, is revealed. Jesus died, the lovely Son of God, he who knew no sin, was made sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus, in dying, shedding his blood for vile sinners, men and women departed from God, men and women hostile in their minds to God, at enmity in their hearts and minds against God, at war with God. And I assure you, my friends, today, that's the war that you cannot win. That's the fight that you will not gain the victory in. Put down, lay down the weapons of your warfare today. Bring that hostility, that enmity against God. Bring it to the cross of Jesus Christ. Yield, surrender to him. Lay your sins before him, because that's all you've got to bring. It's all that you can call your own. You've got nothing. All you are is just a piece of walking, breathing, talking sin. It's all that you are. You come, nothing in your hand you bring, simply to his cross you cling. I tell you today, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon received. Forgiveness with God there is. A way back from the dark path of sin there is. But only one, his name is Jesus. He says, I am the way. No one comes to the Father. No one gets right with God but by me. How you doing, sir? A good day?
Yeah.
Yeah, but even then it doesn't stop. I've been a Christian 42 years and I can't say that I still don't sin. But the difference would be that now I'm a forgiven sinner. Yeah? Sin, you're not finished with sin completely until we're in heaven. Then we leave the sin behind in the grave, and we enter eternal glory. The important thing is that we're forgiven. That is, our sins are forgiven. Are your sins forgiven? Yeah, I think so. We're not sure. Not 100% sure. You should be sure. I mean,
to make no crime.
Sorry.
Not to make no crime.
Aye, but you crime. Sins against God. A crime is something you do against the state, against the law of the land. You know, sin is against God. And we've all sinned. I mean, you ever told a lie? Yeah? Well, that's a sin against God, you see. There's lots of things, but it's a matter of the heart, you see. It's a matter of the heart, it's a change of the heart, you know, and knowing that you've sinned against God. Come to Jesus with your sin and you plead with him, you ask him to forgive you, you know, and to pardon you, and you can. can know, you see, that's the thing, we can know, because the Bible tells us we can know that we're forgiven. Yeah? We're given assurance of his forgiveness. So I urge you, what's your first name? Scott, I'm Jimmy. Scott, you can know that you're forgiven. Lord of Jesus, I cry out to you, I'm a sinner. Forgive me, Jesus. And you can live in the wonderful assurance that your sins are forgiven. And the joy of it. That's God's salvation. Can I offer you a copy of God's Word, Scott? Would you ever read it?
No?
Sure.
Okay.
Have a nice day anyway. Thanks for your question.
Yes,
so, as I say, my friends, is that Jesus is the one that you need. No other. I am the way, says Jesus. None other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. One only.
Jim, my friend. You're on the grass, y'all. This is just me and
we've been up in Scotland for a week. My friends, Jesus, the only way back from the dark path, there is no other. No other good enough. No other who could pay the price for sin and open heaven's gate and let us in. Jesus, none other name under the whole canopy of heaven whereby we must be saved. No other name. Not in the popes of Rome, Muhammad, your world religions, one name only. Life. Life from the dead. Life everlasting. Everlasting life. As opposed to everlasting shame and contempt. Life in Jesus. Have you got life in your soul? Have you been born again? Have you repented of your sin? Have you believed on the Savior? The only Savior. Jesus. Jesus, we commend Jesus to you this afternoon, Carlisle. He's a lovely Savior. He's a lovely Savior. And he produces the goods. You trust him and you get what he promises. You get forgiveness, you get pardon, you get grace. You get the love of God, you get heaven. Heaven, Carlisle. Heaven. Escape from hell, from the jaws of death, into the arms of Jesus and everlasting life in the Saviour, in the Son of God, who loved sinners and gave himself for them. Hear his word today. Follow him. Do his bidding. Whatsoever he commands you. And what does he command you? Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Carlisle. Repent ye, repent ye, repent ye. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? For the kingdom of God is at hand. That's why. And that's the only way you can enter the kingdom of God. In repentance, faith towards the Son of God. Come today. Come today, my friends, in repentance and faith, and receive the forgiveness of your sins and eternal life in the name of Jesus Christ. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word? Take home with you, read and see, study, meditate upon the Son of God. See, my friends, what a wonderful Savior he is. Like a copy of God's Word, offered to you freely, no cost, no obligation to you. Like a copy of God's Word, you come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy, mercy, I say, upon your precious, precious, never dying souls.